We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. If you have any prayer requests that you would like for us to pray with you, 321-454-4263, we'll get you the church office. We have a answering machine there. You can leave a message, and we will be praying for you. We do believe that God is still in the miracle working business. Here a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on God, revive your works in our day. And that was in Habakkuk chapter 3. In Habakkuk chapter 1, God answers Habakkuk's prayer, and he says this, I'm going to do a work in your day that you wouldn't believe even if somebody told you it was getting ready to take place. And at the end, Habakkuk embraces God's plan and says, God, revive your work in our days, in our midst. It's great to hear about things that are taking place in other parts of the world, but I am so thankful that God is still at work in our life and in our midst. And so if you've got a prayer request, we do believe in a miracle-working God. We'd love to pray with you for those needs that you have in your life. So tomorrow night at 7 p.m. will be our back-to-school bash for our kids. Looking forward to that. We are making a change to our service times on Wednesday nights. We had done food for kids and started at 6:30, but we're now going to have the adults. The reason that we did that was to make it easier for people to come to church as a family. And so we have made a change. You know, I talked about change on yesterday's program. Sometimes you have to make changes to be the most productive with your time. And so this will make it a little bit easier on our helpers, our teachers, to be able to get home from work, get something to eat for themselves, as well as get prepared for class. And so starting on Wednesday nights, we're going to start at 7 p.m. instead of the 6:30 the way that it had been before. So today we're going to be in John chapter 12 again, John chapter 12, and verse number 42. John chapter 12, verse number 42. Says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. I know this isn't on topic of us being the light of the world, but can I just speak just a moment on verse number 50? And that is, Jesus says, and I know that his command is everlasting life. I know that whatever God speaks to me, whatever he has authorized me to do, whatever he has commissioned me to do, I know that it is going to be everlasting life. The things that he commands me not to do, those are going to result in everlasting life. I think that we would do ourselves a great service if we raised the value of God's command. You know, I'm not talking about legalism where you do something because you have to do it. I'm talking about a heart change where God births in us a heart desire to embrace the command of God, to do the command of God, obey the command of God, knowing that it's going to result in life. You know, that's really what God wants for all of us, is life. He absolutely does. So with that little brief interlude there, let me take you back to verse number 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." Authority is a great thing. I know in the world there's a saying that absolute authority corrupts absolutely. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, there is none of that corruption. There's none of that unrighteousness. There's none of that selfishness. There's no abuse of power. It is authority that works for our benefit, not for our harm. And so Jesus says, whenever you put your faith in me, you put your faith in the one who sent me. And that was the Father. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He goes on and he says, "And he who sees me sees him who sent me." Now, let me take you back just a moment where "he who believes not in me but in him who sent me," Jesus is the one that gave the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me just take you over there, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, 19, and 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, with that same aspect in mind that Jesus was just talking about, we need to walk as people under authority so that when people receive us, they receive us as the commissioned by God. You know, one of the things that I really strive to accomplish is to minimize the Bob and maximize the God input. I want to keep Bob's flesh out of it. I want to keep Bob's carnality out of it. I want to keep Bob's emotions out of it. What I want is I want God's truth to shine forth. And so that's why we see in the world many times that when there are people with authority, that they begin, if they begin to operate with their parameters instead of with what they are authorized to do, that people begin to have problems with that. As long as we stick with what God has told us to do, we're going to find that we're going to be a great deal more successful. With that in mind, we also see this here in verse number 45, that when people see us, they should see the one who sent us. They should see Jesus in us. They should hear Jesus coming through our words and through our lips. They don't need to hear, you know, the latest opinion poll about who God is or what God is or is not able to do. They don't need to hear us redefining what the Bible has to say about something. What they need to hear is, thus saith the Lord. They need to see not only do we proclaim that, but that we live it. It is something that they hear, and it is something that they see. It is something that they need to be able to have confidence in. I ran across a verse. I shared this a few weeks ago. And I was doing my devotions in the Minor Prophets, and there was a verse, and it's like, how come I have never seen that before? And it was describing that unfaithfulness is equivalent of blasphemy to God. Unfaithfulness is the equivalent of blasphemy. Now, if I were to tell you, you know, how many of you want to blaspheme, you know, You got to be careful with blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because that's an unforgivable sin. That is the unforgivable sin. You don't want to go there. I don't like to joke about the Holy Spirit. I want to stay far, far away from blaspheming the Holy Spirit. There are actually some websites out there that promote that say, you know what, I'm doing this on my own and my own free will and volition. I want to do this in such a way that I am beyond redemption. I know that we wouldn't want to do that. I know that it's highly offensive to Christians when people use the name of the Lord in vain. We call that blasphemy. But I wonder if we have ascribed the same level of credibility to unfaithfulness being on that level of blasphemy as well. People need to be able to see faithfulness. They need to believe that you are going to be there. How do we improve on that? How do we improve on that? How do we improve in the area of faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is one of those fruits that comes from abiding in the Holy Spirit. It's the one of the fruit of the Spirit. So we need to improve on that. I have come, verse 46, I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And this is the point that I want to make from this passage today, is you and I, we have to make a choice. Where do you want to live? Do you want to live in the light, or do you want to live in darkness? Here, God says, I have come as a light into the world, and we saw that before. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So the choice that we make to live in light has everything to do with our attitude towards Christ, of being our attitude being, I have put my faith and trust and confidence in him. And so, you know, if the sun is shining and a cloud comes wandering by, and it blacks out the direct line of sight between us and the sun, many people think, oh no, God's abandoned me. And the sun is still in exactly the same spot it was. So it's really not that God has abandoned it. It's that the devil tries to bring some circumstances into your life from time to time that obscure that direct line of sight, but you have that confidence that says, you know what? I'm in exactly the same spot I was before. My relationship with God is exactly the same way as it was before. I still love him as much now as I did then. I know that he is still on the throne, and I also know that whatever this is that is coming in to obscure the line of sight, that it's not going to last. But my faith in Jesus Christ will. I I pray that you make the choice to live in the revelation and the illumination that God has for you, and that it is of such a persuasive belief that anytime something comes along to obscure your vision, you say, you know what? I've got faith that is exactly where it was. When I was in college, I liked to play intramural basketball there. We were a small college, so just about everybody played intramural. And many times I'd be guarding people who were taller than I was, or they had the ability to jump higher than I did. And so the only defense that I had was to put my hand up to try and block their vision of where the basket was. I mean, if I couldn't jump as high to block the shot, then the only thing that I could do is try and obscure the vision. But I'm missing a right ring finger. And so whenever I would put my hand up, I'd try and block their shot. But if my hand was in just the wrong position at the wrong angle, I wouldn't actually be obscuring their vision. I would be framing it. I mean, they could say, oh, thanks. That just blocks out all of the other distractions, and it would give them a perfect line of sight to the basket. I pray that whatever comes your way, that God has given you such faith and trust that you say, you know what? I know that God is exactly where he was before this came. He's exactly where he's going to be after this comes. And the only thing that is going to happen is my faith is going to grow stronger. I will see the victory come from this. Hallelujah. Let me take you over here for the last half of the program today. We're gonna look at Acts chapter 13. Verse number 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary. I wanted to make sure I was in the right chapter. It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So, Paul and Barnabas, they were ministering, and it says here that the people of that city were filled with envy. They were jealous because there were people who were coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were seeing fruit where the Jews had not seen fruit before. And so they began to stir up some trouble for Paul and Barnabas, and he said, look, we had to begin with you. We had to start with you. That's what we are commanded to do. But in verse number 46, it says, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Okay? Everybody has a response to the word of God. You either believe it, you table it, meaning you say, we'll deal with this at a later time, or you reject it. And there are a lot of people right now, there have been a lot of seeds sown. One of the things that I describe about the word of God, about preaching, is that it is seed that is sown. I have a tremendous illustration in my files about an archaeological dig that they had done in Israel, and they came, I think they dug down like 13 feet when they found this civilization, and when they got down there, they found a seed that had been buried all that length of time. It had never germinated. Come to find out, it was an extinct variety of tree. And so when they brought it up to the surface, they had another tree that was a close relative, and the seed was activated, and it came back from the dead. An extinct species came back. It had been buried. It had been suppressed. And I like to describe the word of God that is preached, that many people right now, they may be buried under a weight of sin and trespasses, but that seed has been planted down there, and at just the right time, God is going to activate that seed to newness of life. And so today, if you've got a loved one that used to walk with God and now they're not, I want you to begin to pray that God would activate those seeds of faith that are placed in their life. So there is believing it, there is tabling it, but here Paul talks about people who rejected the word of God. What happens when we reject the word of God? It says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. The NIV, I believe it's in the book of Jonah, it says this, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. You see, it is not what God is doing, it is how are you going to respond to the word of God. God's word is true. God's word is going forth, but you and I, we've got to accept it, believe it to everlasting life, or we reject it and we lose the everlasting life, and it's our decision that we have deemed ourselves unworthy of. And Paul said, you know what? You may reject it, but we had to preach it to you first, but God has commanded us, and I just want to remind you what I shared about the command passage in John chapter 12 on yesterday's program. He says, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. I don't know about you, but I like to watch the Home and Garden TV, the Home Improvement channels, and they go and they buy these light fixtures, and they say, ooh, boy, that's really going to make a statement. That's gonna have increase a wow factor. So several years ago, I put a light fixture, a fan, in our bedroom, and I was like, you know what? This is the master bedroom. I'm not going to just buy the same old economy model that I've always used before. I'm going to put a nicer fan in here. And so I did. I paid more money for the fan. I put this fan in. Well, actually, the electrician put the fan in. And here's what I discovered. It does a horrible job at lighting up the room. It just doesn't light up the room at all. It looks pretty, but it doesn't illuminate. And there are a lot of things that go on in Christianity right now. They look good, but do they bring light to the darkness? It causes people to be impressed and go ooh and ah, but does it bring light to the darkness? Does it result in people being saved? Now, I want you to understand that when what Paul and Barnabas said that God had commanded them to do, to bring to be a light to the Gentiles, that was a highly controversial thing. But I want you to understand something. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet Earth deserves for the light of Jesus Christ to shine their way. They deserve to hear about the gospel. They deserve the opportunity to be saved. The reason that Merit Assembly of God is such a missions-minded church is because we want every person in Brevard County, but also people around the globe, to have the opportunity to see that Jesus is the light of the world and he wants them to be saved. Okay? So some people rejected it, and Paul said, you know what? Your rejection does not end the mission. Okay? One time I was told that I was worthless. I'd never amount to anything in the ministry. And the minister who did our wedding, my wife and I's wedding, he said, you know, my grandfather was a preacher. And I remember him saying, he said, I think his name was Mike. He said, Mike, there's not a preacher worth his salt that hadn't been fired from some church or rejected by some group of people. And so if you've never experienced hurt or rejection, then consider yourself in the minority. But I'm here to tell you that just because I was rejected one place didn't mean that I had to live under the curse of that rejection forever. And just because this group of people rejected hearing the gospel didn't mean that that was going to be the end of Paul and Barnabas's journey. Many people say, oh no, I've been rejected. There's no hope for me and all of that sort of stuff. That's not from God. Let me tell you what verse 48 says. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. You see, right on the heels of rejection was a group of people that were rejoicing about hearing the exact same message that the others had been enraged by. And where those who rejected the message deemed themselves unworthy of everlasting life, those who received it with gladness, they experienced everlasting life. They embraced eternal life. Their life completely and totally changed because they said, wait a minute, that message is for us too? There's forgiveness for my sins? Yes, I had a person that told me one time, he said, I have sinned too much. There is no way that God could forgive me. Now, I want you to understand something, that is just a different manifestation of pride. Today, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ shed his blood on his way to the cross, shed his blood at the cross, so that your sins could be forgiven. It doesn't matter if you sinned once or sinned a million times. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. Jesus still wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to experience eternal life. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.